Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henny Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Monday, 5.05 p.m. to 6 p.m., immediately after Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew, your all-round trading show. We take up where they left off with your weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, blockchain news, and more. And this week, the price of Bitcoin surpassed $7,900.
What was that number again?
$7,900. What does that mean?
We're in the money.
Every time it rains, it rains pennies from heaven. Don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven?
Well, and there's reasons to think that more good news is on the way. Microsoft is launching the first decentralized identity tool built directly on the Bitcoin blockchain. Bitfinex appears to have raised the $1 billion they were looking for to cover their $850 million shortfall with fresh investment. And Augie is reading the paper into his microphone there, so we... We'll be sure to catch up to date on the New York Times.
Sorry, bud. I was starting a fire. It was getting cold in here.
And announced just today, big-name retailers including Crate and Barrel, Nordstrom, and the Amazon-owned Whole Foods will now accept Bitcoin. And that's just a small sample of the stores that are going to be on that. We're going to tell you about that, all that and more. And before I... intro, with the price of Bitcoin, this is what they say to the gentleman in the studio with me.
It's on the way up.
Well, that was sort of what they say. And then they say,
I should come up sometime, see me. You know, I met your kind before.
Well, I...
Don't be afraid, I won't tell.
But,
Come up, I'll tell your fortune. You can be had.
You can see me sometime.
Yes, well, that's what they say to.
So you said that only proves that I'm insane. You may be right. I may be crazy. But it just may be a lunatic you're looking for.
And you can tell him by his New York Times. Augie, it's good to see you here.
Well, thank you, Henry. It's good to listen to your market report ahead of me. But
it would be Andy's market report.
Well, but
tag along with church.
I just have to say that the what was the name of that growth?
Canopy growth.
The pick of the week,
and I bought into it in December, a 40% gain in 1 month, just at the early stages. Merrill Lynch has come in and backed it up along with
sort of like Bitcoin in a week.
It's truly, yeah.
And, of course, well, who's he talking about? One half of the founders of SeekingCryptos.com, one half of the host of Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew, it's our Andy. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Henry. Glad to be here.
Now, I know you took credit for it on your show right before this show, but I'm pretty sure you also said it on this show about 2 weeks ago that you were doing that do that you guys do to come up with your trading picks and all. And Bitcoin was 5150 during the show, both during the Talking Market show 2 weeks ago and the Henry Rain show 2 weeks ago. And you said, I'm going to go buy it. What happened?
It went up.
Well, you bought it first of all.
It went on the way up, you know.
What did you buy? You bought what? Half a Bitcoin?
I bought a half a Bitcoin, and you know, just increased my position here. I felt very confident. If it would have pulled back, I would have bought another half. So I actually wanted to buy a whole Bitcoin, but it never pulled back.
So we all.
Yeah, it never pulled back. So. And a half's better than nothing.
How did you work the trade?
We got up to around 6,500, which was our first target. That we had as for a resistance level, And it started getting a little shaky on Friday towards the close. And a lot of times when, because of algorithm traders and stuff like that, they're looking at certain patterns and stuff towards the close of a candle. I notice it during day trading a lot. You're looking at 15-minute
chart. On a candlestick chart is what you're
talking about. You're looking at a chart, and then all of a sudden it'll trigger a short. You go short, and then all of a sudden the algos come in and just stop you out. It happens all the time. So I'm looking at Bitcoin. I'm seeing it fluctuate around. I'm going,
And 6,400 was about where it fell when, after that long consolidation.
Absolutely.
In the 6,000.
A ton of resistance up there. Just a ton of resistance.
So it was,
So I said, I'm going to trim some off
here. Possible reversal.
Yeah. So I said, I'm going to trim some off here, and I let everybody know on public media. And I was trimming off half that I bought. So I trimmed off a quarter. And, of course, I go to this birthday party. I'm out on Anna Marie Island, looking beautiful scenery, and I look, and it's at 6,800. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. But you know what? It happens. And I'm still happy because I'm in that Bitcoin.
But you're still participating because you have whatever you had previously, and you followed your discipline and your strategy, and you increased your long-term holdings.
Absolutely. I can't tell you how many times I've not done that. I've not taken a little bit off the top and watched it go all the way back to where I bought. I was like, man, if I would have trimmed off where I said I was going to trim off, I would have been able to buy it back cheaper. So that happens.
One of the things you were discussing or touched upon, and somebody said something about telling people how to invest and how to protect themselves when they do and where to do it. So that didn't get followed up on the previous show. So what are you saying about that now?
He was just saying it.
Protect.
No, but that's in terms of your personal thing. But the naive individual who wants a trusting, dependable situation, what should they do?
If you buy something and it goes up, and it goes up considerably, I'm not talking goes up like 5,100, it went to 55, I'm not selling there. But if it goes up considerably and it's at a resistance area where it's likely to pull back, you never know. Markets do what they want to do. It's always good to pull some risk off the table and remove some of your capital, especially in risky assets like Bitcoin or Canopy stocks.
The bigger point to address Augie's question, if you listen to his thought process when he announced this, everything he did afterwards followed that strategy. So it's not at that moment, why did you decide to do that? He had already made that decision.
Oh, yeah.
Based on his previous analysis. There's a ton of news this week on Bitcoin, which is what this is about. So Augie will tune in next week to Talking Markets, and all the other listeners will tune in to Talking Markets, and they'll all grow wiser like I am growing wiser standing across here. But in the meantime, if you're holding cryptocurrency, and especially Bitcoin, almost all the news this week is going to be exceptionally positive for you. But let's just start with where almost all Bitcoin discussions start, and that's the price. The price of Bitcoin surpassed $7,900 today, jumping 16% in the process to reach a high not seen in more than 9 months. Bitcoin now has a market capitalization which accounts for 59.8% of the cryptocurrency market, jumping 16% from its opening price of $6,800 to reach $7,889. Well, it's actually reached as high as $7,980 today. Its highest price since July 31st, 2018.
It's 88,000. It just went above 8,000.
It just, as we talked.
As you were speaking, it went from $7,990 and it is at $8,020 right now. $8,035. It's like watching my heartbeat monitor.
It's like the power trading block.
It is.
An investment block on WWPR, 1490 AM, Monday from 4 to 6.
It's like
there is a supernatural
power.
And then Augie walks in the room, and he just shoves it right over the top.
It just needed that little bit of...
He just shoves it up as high as he can over that mountaintop.
Yeah.
It was almost so watching it today. Once it got past the 7,800 and it just kept throwing in a couple of the drops where there'd be so much volume and it'd just flood in. There's almost like a psychological demand on people that right now they had to push it over 8,000, and we'll see what happens after that. But
You know, people are short in this market. You know, there's two things.
When do they have time to short? Because it keeps popping up higher and higher.
It's at 26,000 short interest. It's only come down 6,000.
Who was like the feel of that short squeeze?
I, you know, maybe they'll be right eventually, I guess. They may be broke, but they'll be right eventually, you know. That's the nice thing about being long. You can't get margined up.
Especially if they're doing it on one of those 100-to-1 margin crypto exchanges.
Yeah, that's got to be going nuts.
All right. Let's start on some of the substantive news, but first with a follow-up to our lengthy examination over the last 2 weeks about Bitfinex and Tether, and just to sort of put a period on the discussion there, the chief technical officer of cryptocurrency exchange Bitfinex appeared to confirm that they had raised $1 billion in fresh investment in social media comments today, following rumors that began with a major shareholder announcing $1 billion confirmed in hard and soft commitments. You got to remember they were doing the initial exchange offering to recover means they got it back from the people that seized their $850 million of real currency, U.S. dollars and other currencies, and which caused them to have an $850 million Tether shortfall in their treasury of stuff, because, of course, up until that moment in time, every Tether was absolutely back with a dollar
100%.
Asset. Yeah.
100% audited, allegedly.
And before that, it was actually backed with U.S. dollars, and then it was, well, or something equivalent, and then, except for the $850 million.
You know what it sounded like? It sounds like the Federal Reserve back in the day when they went from backed by gold to backed by, some securities.
All right. So, the CTO announced that on Monday that Bitfinex's private token sale, which ended May 11th, had sold out. So by doing 2 + 2, people have said that must mean they raised $1 billion. How did they do that? Well, according to a quote by the chief technical officer, private companies, this is the actual quote, private companies, giants in our industry and outside, made investments for greater than $100 million each. So it's plural, giants, at least two or more. So at least there are two or more giants that put in $100 million, plus a legion. And I'd have to go back to Roman history to find out how many you're in a legion. Do you know that, Augie?
300?
A legion?
Yeah. 20,000, maybe?
A legion. I really don't know that. I mean, I think it's
a lot. It's a lot. A legion of inside and outside users made investments for greater than $1 million each.
Powerful armies had more than one legion, so that would be like a division, I would think.
It's a lot.
It's a lot, yeah.
He also stated that the funds had come. All right, remember this. They have $850 million worth of Tether that wasn't backed anymore by the currency there that got seized out of the banks. So it sounded like when we were talking about it last week that they were actually looking for someone to give them, in exchange for the initial exchange offering, for lack of a better word, real money like dollars.
Yeah.
Or Bitcoin.
Probably would have done them better.
He stated that the funds had come in the form of the stablecoin Tether. So, in other words, the people that were holding the Tether that now had questionable Tether because of the $850 million missing dollars said, here's our Tether back. Give us something that may make more money for us. And that, I guess, is whatever this new coin that they're exchanging for is. So it's almost like, Andy, I got all this salt.
Yes.
And I've only put a bunch of salt on my steak. I'll trade you my salt for your pepper. And now I am pepper rich.
Yeah, you're pepper rich. Hey, back in the day, that was a commodity.
Anyway, finally, Arduino, the CTO, confirmed that the investment in both U.S. dollar Tether and unspecified other formats. So I think like Mocha Joe's coupons and some other stuff like that.
You know, Tether's now linked to Tron, right?
Yes, but not in a way that we can easily explain.
You know, the Tron CTO left today.
To where? The big cryptocurrency exchange in the hot guy?
He's denounced Tron. Pretty much TRX, his words were TRX not fit for purpose, and said it's very decentralized with Justin Sun. So you get, all kind of, anything that's attached to Tether, just stay away. Stay away.
Yeah. So that may have been hard the way I presented it to say, well, that was good news, but at least it puts that particular story on the back burner for a little while.
Yep.
And now to something much more substantive and people that are advocates of cryptocurrency are going to like. A new initiative announced on Monday that will reportedly see big-name retailers, including Crate & Barrel, Nordstrom, and, wait for it, Amazon-owned Whole Foods, now accept Bitcoin and three other types of digital money.
What's the other two types?
I'm getting to that.
Oh, okay.
The retail initiative comes via a partnership between Flexa, a payment startup, and Gemini, the Winklevoss-owned digital currency company. It works by piggybacking on the digital scanners that many big retailers use to accept phone-based payments from their apps and from digital wallets like Apple Pay. What Flexa has done is persuade the retailers, which also include, there's an answer to your question, Regal Cinemas, GameStop, and Baskin-Robbins. And actually, just so you can peek ahead, at the bottom they throw some more names in there.
Okay.
To configure their scanners to recognize payments from its cryptocurrency app, which is called Spendin. S-P-E-D-N. Spendin. I'm spitting. I'm spitting about crypto.
Spitting.
The customer simply holds their app to pay. The store cashier will typically be unaware that the customer is paying with crypto, while the merchant receives a real-time payment in the form of their choosing, crypto or dollars.
I take crypto.
Now, we're going to talk a little bit more about what happened when this reporter went to go use it. But let's talk about the implications first, and then the nuances of it all. Okay, well, BitPay is a company that a lot of merchants use to accept Bitcoin. Joel Greenberg, the tax collector up in Seminole County, used BitPay to do that. I think Ohio, that is accepting tax payments now, the state of Ohio, is using BitPay. BitPay, you pay with Bitcoin, and it's immediately converted to dollars and put in the merchant or the organization's account, and that is done in real time, so you don't have the fluctuations in pricing. There's not that risk. And it's typically done substantially less than a MasterCard or Visa transaction at about 1%. MasterCard and Visa being around
3%,
right?
I mean, I wrote an article on that. That is really huge for merchants because if you're paying 1% flat, that's a lot different than when you're paying. Someone comes with American Express, you pay 3.5%. You lose 3.5% of your
Sunday. Nobody's using American Express. I mean, so many people are dumping it.
We don't get very many of them, but even if they use those high, you know, flight point right. ones where you're getting 3-5 points, the merchant pays for that.
Right. So, now think about what it would take for BitPay to do what has now happened. First of all, the merchant has to accept the BitPay as the transmitter, which may not be a big deal, but he has to use their hardware to accept this. Where we go now, we see Apple Pay on where I use my debit card. There's Apple Pay. I think there's Google Pay. That people scan their phones. There's pluses and minuses to using that. But the point is, the infrastructure is everywhere. It's ubiquitous as far as where you can use your phone to pay. This app works on top of that. It piggybacks on it, according to this article. And we'll hear exactly what happens when you do it. But if you can walk up to anyone that has now accepted this, and you just hold your phone there, nothing had to be rolled out at the individual stores. There wasn't this implementation cost.
Just a software program.
You're right. Wow. All over the place. So what happens? The journalist says it appears to work as advertised. This weekend, and I guess it's in last weekend, I tried it by downloading a text version of Spitten.
Spitten.
I'm spitting, and transferring $10 worth of Bitcoin to it. Next, I went to a Baskin-Robbins in my neighborhood and bought a small coffee by scanning. Why do you go to Baskin-Robbins to buy coffee? Anyway, that's what he did. Scanning the app. It worked. Next, I went to a Starbucks, another partner in the project, but an unofficial one, and I bought a banana. Another crazy purchase at a Starbucks that worked, too. In each case, the app adjusted the amount of Bitcoin in my wallet. Now, I'm not asking the journalist if he applied for his capital gains on his tax returns, but that's pretty powerful paragraph right there.
You know, that's a big game changer.
And
I mean, we knew it was coming, but...
So the currency that they can use are Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, and the Gemini dollar stablecoin.
No Litecoin?
I was a little disappointed to see that, too.
Now, let me ask a question. The ease of the transmission of the money this way, whether it's by Bitcoin or by dollars or whatever, suggests, if it's that easy and someone just waves whatever, can it be stolen the same way?
No, okay. You have to type in. So if I have my phone, I'm going to say I'm going to pay Henry $20. So I type in $20, and then I hand him my phone. He scans it, and the scanner goes, "Oh, okay, you sent me $20." So he could all of a sudden decide, "Oh, I'm going to transfer $10,000 out of there."
Now, in the courses I've been recently taking, they haven't obviously talked about this yet, but you know, the tapping debit cards or credit cards, they have a near-range transmission that happens. Generally, it's about 6 to 8 inches. But in a crowded spot, somebody could be next to you, and it is possible to scan the transmission. Now, there are supposed to be security steps. You know, the chip is supposed to do something. But, you know, you're in the right ballpark on that. There is a transmission there, and like a lot of things, which we're going to talk about hopefully before the end of the show, where people are bribing workers at mobile phone carriers to transfer phone numbers and getting access to SIM cards, and we'll get to that. So let me wrap this up, and then we'll do a break, and then we'll try and go full speed to the end of the show. Fortune contacted, this is who the article is from, Fortune Magazine, contacted six of the retailers participating in the Flexi service, including Whole Foods. None of them provided a comment. According to a person familiar with the project who spoke on condition of anonymity, the reason for silence is because the crypto payments are still an experiment and retailers don't want to discuss them until they gain a better understanding of the technology and consumer demand. So probably, definitely the cashier doesn't even know what's happening.
Mm-mm.
And possibly the manager of the Starbucks or the Baskin-Robbins don't even know what's happening.
Oh.
Finally.
It sounds vulnerable. That's what it sounds like.
Well, no more than everything else, any other Apple Pay or Google Pay.
Well, perhaps, yeah.
Well, there's no perhaps. I mean, that's the technology.
No, I understand.
Okay. I always get worried about using my Apple Pay, though, like at Starbucks. So I'm thinking, oh, there's a lot of people standing around me. They get my credit card number?
I mean, I feel
safe for giving them Bitcoin.
Well, let me get this last paragraph out, and then we do the discussion. There are now big-name merchants who signed on to this. Other names include Petco, Lowe's, Office Depot.
What?
Yeah. We'll be taking the payments this time next year. Given the history of crypto payments, this sounds like a breakthrough. Okay. Go ahead.
A very simple thing. I go to Ace Hardware all the time, and the cashier will say, you're rewards number. And I said, my phone number? And I stopped this about a month ago. I stopped giving. I said, no. And the people just give their number out constantly. And
sure.
Everybody hears it. So the vulnerability of that number going out, somebody tapping in as you're giving it out. I mean, this is just for a purely mechanical situation. But with this kind of ease, I'm not so sure.
Well, you've loaded that app on your phone. So the security is coming in the way that you enable that app and whether you follow, you know, the
procedure
or the security precautions. All right, let's
okay. More concerning.
Let's go to a break, and then we will come back. And there's some more big news. I'll try and be a little bit more concise, but that one took a little bit to explain.
Real quick, before you go, Legion, 6,000 men. Leonard just texted me.
Okay.
So we have official.
So 6,000.
It's about Legion's about three divisions then.
Yeah.
So a million per Legionnaire.
Yeah.
There's plenty of Legionnaires to come up with $1 million.
Exactly.
And bail out Bifidex. Other important questions on the other side of this break.
Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Byte Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Byte Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Byte Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Byte Federal ATM near you. Go to ByteFederal.com to find a location for you. That's ByteFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on The Henry Raine Show.
If you enjoy the trading and investment ideas you hear on Talking Markets with Mark and Andy, then you're going to want to become a member of their SeekingCryptos.com membership service. And you can join for absolutely free. When you sign up for a free membership at SeekingCryptos.com, you'll start receiving analysis and perspective by email on trade examples, cryptocurrencies, stocks, metals, educational content, and exclusive offers. SeekingCryptos.com has something for you advanced traders too. Check out the premium membership, the expert swing trades, or the quant geeks packages. Seeking Cryptos has skin in the game just like you. They post their trades in real time, and you can follow the results right on their portfolio page. So what are you waiting for? Go to SeekingCryptos.com and sign up for your free membership now.
Alcobra Massage has been providing quality massage therapy in Bradenton for over 5 years. And we are proud and excited to announce we've expanded our practice and boutique to a larger facility. Located at the historic downtown Bradenton, we're in a charming craftsman-style building across the street from the Spring Hill Suites by Marriott. Alcobra Massage offers many treatment rooms, a spacious lobby, and doorfront parking spaces just for our clients. But what we're most proud of is our highly qualified massage therapists offering great service to our valued clients. Availability and instant booking is found at lauraalcover.com. Alcover Massage. Like us on Facebook, 204 13th Street West, Bradenton, Florida, 34205. Book your appointments now at lauraalcover.com or call us at 941-592-3187. MN number 34081. MA number 50525.
It's on the way up. It's on the way up. It's on the way up.
Well, yes, it is. Bitcoin, if you are, I was going to say Bitcoin, if you're listening, evidently Bitcoin is listening because we said it seemed like it had to go over 8,000 a moment ago. It was 8,170. Andy is coming around the corner smiling. Has it gone for higher than 8,170?
I'm a Bitcoin thousandaire now.
Congratulations.
It went to 8,150. That's crazy.
No, it was 8,170 just a moment ago. Anyway, we're not into the price. We're not about the material benefit to ourselves. We're into this. We really, our raison d'etre, how do I say that, Augie? You know French.
What's that?
Raison d'etre.
Raison d'etre.
Yeah, that thing. Our raison, Augie said it, is all about the societal change and the technological advancement of the human race. It's not about Bitcoin going over 8,000.
It's cultural, right?
I got to check my Coinbase account. but it's a perfect example of that. Let me give you this next story. Microsoft is launching the first decentralized infrastructure implementation by a major tech company that is built directly on the Bitcoin blockchain. And as I say this, and you listen to it, one of the key things, this isn't about cryptocurrency. This is about an identity tool built on the Bitcoin blockchain. The open source project, that's open source is also another key, called Ion, deals with underlying mechanics of how networks talk to each other. For example, if you log on to Airbnb using Facebook, a protocol deals with the software that sends personal information from your social profile to the external service provider. In this case, Ion handles the decentralized identifiers, which control the ability to prove your own keys to this data. Christopher Allen is a crypto veteran and the co-founder of World Wide Web Consortium, a working group for decentralized identity solutions, DID. He said that Microsoft's move could impact the entire tech industry. A lot of enterprise infrastructure uses Microsoft products, so if they integrate this into any of their infrastructure products, they'll have access to DID, decentralized identity. In fact, York Rhodes, the program manager at Microsoft's blockchain engineering team, said they've been working for over a year on a key signing validation software that relies on public networks like Bitcoin or Ethereum. It can handle far greater throughput than the underlying blockchain itself. Finally, just stepping back a bit, so with DID, current infrastructure, those examples of Facebook and Airbnb. Facebook might be able to shut down your social media account, but could not revoke access to all the tools that relied on Facebook ID to log in. Plus, all those personal photos on Facebook would belong to the user, the holder of the DID. So these things where they've banned people from Facebook because of the content they're putting out there, making them non-persons, if you will, and severing the ties with all these other things they're connected with in our new social media world.
Yep.
This is what Leonard and others, Leonard being Leonard Lopin, our, one of our sponsors through Byte Federal, has talked about, you know, privacy and what the blockchain can do. This is actually another groundbreaker on this same show today, the announcement of this, that this is being used, or ready to be used, at least in projects going forward. Some of the other things about this that makes it quite interesting is that Microsoft, along with ConsenSys, are doing this as an open source. Everyone can see the software. They can try and improve it and take it and use it on their own. Finally, it said that it's unlikely that Facebook will cooperate with this, although there's some things they won't be able to cooperate with if it's on the opposite side of this.
So is this going to tie into the reading of your eyes and all of that in order to get specific, the iris of your eye?
Well, that's a whole separate thing. You're going to be biometrically measured, and we'll be able to keep track of you. Whether it's on a blockchain or not.
Right.
Leonard is contributing remotely. We have the same idea, funny enough. I'm thinking probably not with Lee. NFC and then chatting with point-of-service providers. But it's an uphill battle unless you are well-connected. I think that was on Flexa and Spinning.
Yeah.
The previous story before the break. But he says, Ian, yes, very amazing news. Thank you for Leonard. You're always welcome to call in if you want.
Leonard, call in. We had an open line. What's the open phone line, Henry?
He could call in 941-745-1490. Anybody can call in 941-745-1490. If that gets blocked, you can dial it again because we have the high tech of a rollover line in this studio. So. But
they upgraded it from what was the old
from the tin can in the string.
Yeah, yeah.
watch the wires. Get a shock on now. Okay, so we have this. None of us are really quite up to the task of explaining it in nuts and bolts, I don't think, but as the way Leonard could if he had been here with us. But the idea that they're building it on a Bitcoin blockchain as opposed to like the JP Morgan blockchain or the IBM blockchain or all these proprietary blockchains, and being doing it open source, that's pulling the technical community in two different ways.
Yes, it is.
Well said. All right, so
I'm getting texts like crazy. Bitcoin's over 8,100. Bitcoin's over 8. I'm like, yes, it is. If
listen
you were
to
listening
the show,
to the show, you would have known that.
You
this is the reason why it's over 8,100.
You wouldn't be texting and driving at the same time.
Yes.
What next? Well, I said we have a lot of big news that is very bullish for Bitcoin. How about the United Arab Emirates has granted crypto exchange BitOasis, how aptly named, a preliminary license which allows it to operate a digital asset wallet and trading platform. According to the Dubai-based BitOasis, this will make the firm Middle East's first regulated Bitcoin exchange. Preliminary license was granted by the Financial Services Regulatory Authority, and this is one of the three independent authorities of the United Arab Emirates International Financial Center, the Abu Dhabi Global Market.
Abu Dhabi.
Yes. And we have, I'm sure, many wealthy Middle Eastern people that have been able to invest in different exchanges and invest in cryptocurrency, but there hasn't been something in the Arabian Peninsula or that general area of the Middle East. And I'm thinking that this one probably is Sharia compliant if it's being publicly announced. So that whatever inhibitions people had about trading in a Western exchange or perhaps off the books, if you will, peer-to-peer,
yep,
any of these things, they now have the ability to do it out in the open.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think the most wealthy people always have a way to get around things. But this opens it up to a level of the engineers, the professionals, people that probably wanted to participate and were a little bit worried about doing something outside the boundaries.
Sharia compliant. You think, really, this is Sharia compliant?
Actually, XRPs, yeah, or XLM, one of them is Sharia compliant.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They got
why would you think it wouldn't be?
The restrictions on Sharia laws are 24 rules. They're pretty goddamn, pardon my language, pretty serious. I'm really suspect. Somebody's going to raise bloody hell about this.
Actually, XLM is Sharia compliant.
Well, they can claim that all day long.
No, they get the ruling from the governing body.
Yeah.
They have to get it from a single imam, but yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, they have to get it from the imam that the local government is willing to accept the ruling from.
The ruling comes from Saudi.
That's where it actually allowed. It was Saudi Arabia allowed for XLM.
Yeah, it's been months ago when we've done some of the other stories, like the one Andy's talking about. And they have a whole bureaucracy within Islam that takes care of this stuff.
So much misunderstanding. That's all right.
Wait a minute. All right, let's take this on here.
All right.
So you think there's just one imam that does all the background research on all the rulings? They're not like the Supreme Court where they have these clerks that run around and do the research for them?
Well, actually, there may well be just one. That may be the likelihood.
I think.
I can tell you, the 300,000 Yazidi tribes people were taken in as slaves under one imam's dictum from Saudi Arabia.
What does that have to do with this?
Well, it has to do with a single source of authority.
You still have staff.
No, you don't. Not in that situation.
Yeah, Stellar Lumens back in July of 2018 received by the Bank of Iran, became the first Sharia compliant.
That's Sharia law under Shia law, not under Sunni.
Well, Sharia law is a
there's
Sharia
two different
compliant
Islams, you know.
Augie, it's like the Pope. He's got assistants.
It's not at all like the Pope.
You can't run a Muslim.
The Sharia Review Board. That's what they call it. Sharia
that's
Review.
That's under Shia, S-H-I-I-T, Islam.
Right.
That's a different
Sharia law.
Hold on. Sharia
we're going to just Google Saudi Arabia financial ruling Sharia and see what comes up.
You got to separate the two.
And then we will go on to this. Per a Bloomberg report, in the past
Saudi
years,
Arabia what?
Financial rulings and Sharia, if you didn't put that in yet.
Don't Don't combine the Islam of Shia versus
Okay, he's going to come back to it. Let's stay on track here. In the past 2 years, BitOasis has handled trading volumes totaling approximately $1.6 billion. This makes it one of the biggest cryptocurrency exchanges in the Middle East, and it does all the major ones, Bitcoin, Ethereum, Ripple, Bitcoin Cash, Litecoin, Stellar, Lumens, and others. Goes on to see...
Both Ripple and Stellar Lumens, Saudi Arabia, Central Bank, all of them.
They're accepting.
Yeah, it's accepting.
Okay. Okay, and some of the...
Deemed permissible in Islam. They have deemed
well,
there's
two Islams. But
the, and Sharia law.
The countries that are now available to BitOasis to trade in are Egypt, Jordan, Morocco, United
Emirates.
Yes, I know that. United Arab Emirates. My tongue was stuck to my
I saw that, yeah.
Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Bahrain, and Oman. So I would have to say there's enough wealth there to make a difference in the viability of the marketplace. Any other comments now that I got through the
No, I just, you know, I'm a little bit, it's an interesting cross-section of one, the Sharia law of Saudi Arabia does not allow them to consider Shia as anything but apostate. And that's all Shia. And that means all of Iran and all of two-thirds of Iraq. So they're all
so we have two different groupings, one Shia-oriented and one
Sunni-oriented.
Sharia law is the... No, Sharia law is the law. The Islam of Shia is a different Islam. There's two different things. You're thinking, getting words mixed together with terminologies.
Well, Saudi Arabia takes Ripple.
Okay.
That's what's important.
That's what's important.
That's the
and
one.
That they buy some more Bitcoin today.
Buy more Bitcoin. That's right.
Let's see if we can, for all of our Saudi Arabia listeners, let us congratulate you.
There you go.
Just tune out all that stuff Augie says for a second. Okay. We all love you here.
That's all right.
Andy loves you. I love you.
That's all right. Even if you're stupid, right?
Don't listen. Don't listen. He's an apostate.
There you go. There you go.
Demonstrate the power of your faith right now. And I don't. But just demonstrate that you all have the financial power to move Bitcoin another $1,000 right now. Because I know lots of you are listening right now.
Clicking buy right now.
Yeah. Are we at 10,000?
It went up $7.
Backed. Not B-A-C-K-E-D. B-A-K-K-T. Plans to roll out testing of Bitcoin futures in early July.
That's going to be interesting.
Yes. Why?
Well, I mean, I guess you're going to have to transfer your Bitcoin over to that account. Because it's and they're going to have a day.
Yeah, they're having daily settlement.
A daily settlement, which is, wow.
That's fast.
That's faster than stock settlements.
I wonder if that's timed based on the transaction being confirmed and how many confirmations on the blockchain do you need, or is that just when somebody hits the button on the computer at BACT to make the ledger entry?
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, that was the announcement today. Everything was happening today.
It is a big day.
BACT CEO Kelly Loeffler announced that. They're also working with the ICE Futures U.S. Exchange, a.k.a. the New York Stock Exchange's affiliate. And in conjunction with our exchange and clearing partners, we'll be working with our customers over the next several weeks, blah, 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 getting to July. In April, BACT acquired crypto custodian Digital Assets Custody Company, DACC, announcing that the firm filed with the New York Department of Financial Services to operate as a trust company to serve as a qualified custodian for digital assets. And Reuters recently published an article. This is alleging. I mean, they had quotes from the CEO of ICE, so I don't know how alleged that is, that ICE took advantage of the crypto winter of 2018 to purchase crypto assets at a discount for its BACT platform. That's a misleading statement. No, it's a misleading statement because I went to the source article in Reuters, and the assets were actual companies They've been acquiring companies, not just the digital assets one. There's another one they bought. Coinbase has been doing the same thing.
Yeah.
They've been buying up these companies that were hanging by a thread, and some of the other major institutional names, we've seen this. So they got the companies at a discounted price.
Yeah.
Now, were they trading Bitcoin? Well, logic would suggest they
probably
were, but there is no. That's not what the story was about. Is there more?
I'm looking at your rundown, Henry, and maybe you've already said this. An average of worth 0.3 million worth of crypto stolen in each attack.
Yeah, that's the next thing on the rundown. Yeah.
Okay. So,
another hacking.
This one is something you really need to think about. We have a friend, I won't say his name on the show, but he's been on the show multiple times, where he had $60,000 of Bitcoin stolen from him a couple years ago.
Oh, wow.
Back
oh,
before
wow.
Bitcoin was even as high as it had been. So what this is called SIM hijacking. In other words, they have to port your phone number onto a SIM card. There's a SIM card in your phone,
okay. And
your phone number's associated
with it. The country you're in.
And the carrier, whoever your carrier is, associates the number with that SIM card. So you lose your phone or you buy a new phone.
Well, that never happens.
You tell the carrier that, you know, you want to activate the new phone. Now, most of us would have a password, and if you do it by phone, they're supposed to ask you for your password, and of course, all of us here have good password security.
Mm-hmm.
You know, multiple
0000.
Yeah, password. Password, but I made the zero and oh,
yeah,
oh, the zero.
Yeah. Just blow everybody's mind.
Yeah, nobody can do that. No, we don't guess it. SIM hijack has proven to be another lucrative way to steal crypto. The latest case involves 9 individuals who have been charged by prosecutors from the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Eastern District of Michigan. Prosecutors say that the 9 participated or aided in stealing $2.4 million of crypto. So this isn't like when they bust a drug dealer and they empty his glove box and they say they found $1 million of cocaine.
Yeah.
This is $2.4 million. This is on last week's prices,
at least.
So in SIM hijacking, the hackers remotely activate the victim's mobile phone number on a SIM card that is in their possession. Typically, it requires the bad actors to connive with insiders, 6 of the 9 individuals belonging to a hacking group known as, quote, the community. According to the Justice Department press release, you don't even have a gang name that sounds very intimidating.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like community. The community. Let's have a potluck dinner.
That's got to be a millennial gang.
Justice Park Press.
For communists.
SIM swapping by the community hacking group was often facilitated by bribing an employee of a mobile phone provider. This particular case, 3 of the 9 individuals, Jarrett White, Robert Jack, and Findlay Joseph, they sound so bribable, were employees of the cell phone service provider. The wireless carriers were not named. And, you know, when our friend got hacked, I went to my carrier and said, you know, wanted to ask them about their securities and actually wanted a block put on anything but and face-to-face. And, of course, the person there said, well, you know, just increase the security of your password, and if they come in here, they have to show their driver's license. They have to show a photo ID, government issued. I was like, okay. Maybe you aren't as sketchy as, you know, because it wasn't my carrier that it was done to, and some of the other cases have been bigger name carriers that, you know, the market leaders. And I read this article. I was looking at I was thinking back on all the employees there. And when she looked up my password to confirm me and, you know, make it a little tighter, not that I would think she was doing anything then, but she had the ability to look it up.
Yeah.
So how much would it take to bribe a Verizon or a Sprint or a T-Mobile or a
bribe
AT&T
person?
Because what happens then? So you got it in the phone. Now, that just because you got my phone number in your phone doesn't mean you can do anything. But if I've saved my passwords to Google, Google, I've lost something. And Google knows your phone number. Google will send you the God.
That's a major headache.
So I've been thinking about a Trezor hardware wallet or a Ledger hardware wallet, and I'm wondering which is more likely for an individual somewhere that knows my phone number to be bribed or for me to lose that wallet.
I have mine stored in cold storage with Coinbase. This is fine. That's insured.
Yeah, and I don't use my Gmail account associated with anything financial, except my debit card. I don't use my Gmail account with anything crypto related.
Yeah.
So
you guys are getting nervous.
I'm not. Mine's on crypto.
Well, I'm not nervous about the crypto, but it's so convenient. Even though I haven't stored my card with Google, it still asks me if I want to use that card when I buy something. And I'm like, I should really take that off of there, but it's so easy just to put my 3-digit number there in that and let it buy it on whatever place it is for me.
Too many inner secrets. You don't want to be getting hacked.
So what do you do when you... Oh, we got to get out of here.
Oh.
All right. Well, thanks to Augie. Thanks to Andy.
Thank you, Henry.
Thanks to you, Henry, yes. I think you've sewn things together rather interesting with a lot of holes in it.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Of course you should. Some of the holes are unavoidable.
We got to get out of here for whatever that next show coming up is.
Definitely not as interesting as this one.
She's a good girl, loves her mama, loves Jesus, in America too. She's a good girl.